Let me ask you to open up your Bibles, please, to the 25th Psalm. In the 25th Psalm, I would like to call your attention to verses 4 and 5, where the New American Standard Translation says, "Make me know your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day." And in the morning, we started our discussion with you, completing the second half of verse 3 in the 23rd Psalm. But we wanted to talk about, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. And this morning, I was just telling you that it's very, very important that we make meaningful decisions that will allow us to see God's face in peace when we leave this world. And so this passage of Scripture just puts a ribbon on that first point that we discussed this morning, that we need to admit that we need a leader and a guide in our lives. So I want to transition to point number 2, which is to ask in faith for God's direction. You and I need to ask in faith for God's direction. There have been times in my life when I have prayed to God that my will be done. And then I wondered why my will wasn't done. And that's not the kind of God that's in heaven. Y'all, here, I know y'all have never done that before, but that's very, very important. You and I need to make sure that we approach the throne of God clear to the intent that we want His will done in our lives. There are countless numbers of Scripture to support this truth, but I want to only call your attention to one verse. I've been reorienting myself to this passage of Scripture, so I just want to read it into your hearing tonight and hope that you too will continue your personal study in this text. And again, the concept on the floor is to ask in faith for God's direction. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 at verse 1, where the record says, "Boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. On behalf of such a man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except in regard to my weaknesses." It's too bad people in the world can't understand that, isn't it? On our jobs and the stewardships that you have, if you disclose your weakness, they will kick you to the curb. If you tell people there's something that you don't know, then they'll be looking for a way for you to go. But according to this text, when you belong to Christ, it is not shameful. It is not an embarrassment to not know everything. It is okay to have weakness, and especially within the body of Christ. We definitely need to keep this truth in mind. Verse 6, "For I do wish to boast, for if rather I do wish to boast, I will not be foolish, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from this so that no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh." Now, when you go back and study that notion of thorn, in the original language, it basically means a staff. It means a sharp, pointed stick that is used for digging and that's used for gouging. This is not some kind of emotional situation that Paul is talking about. This is some kind of infirmity. This is some kind of challenge, some kind of physiological issue that he is wrestling with in his life. You and I need to be straight on that. But you see, I've read this passage from time to time, but the next phrase is what I had forgotten. There was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of whom? Try to get your head around that. That Satan had decided to take whatever physiological malady it was to superimpose that on your brother in Christ, and God allowed that to happen. Now, when you go back and you study the book of Job, you will know that God told Job in no told the devil in no uncertain terms, "Have you considered my servant Job? I want you to take a look at it. I want you to look him up and down and tell me if you've ever seen a servant like him." And then, of course, the evil one started the junk that he starts with everybody. And then God gave him permission to start wreaking havoc in his life. And I'm telling us tonight, if you want to live godly, if you truly want to have a ministry that is spiritually stellar, then you can expect the devil to come knocking on your door unannounced. Not only will he knock on your door, there are times he will kick your door in. And he will study you, and he will study your family, and he will find the way where you hurt the most. So you may be sitting here tonight saying, "Well, I ain't worried about nothing. Don't nothing bother me." If you got children, something bothers you. If you're married, something bothers you. If you still have parents on this side of eternity, there's something that bothers you. I'm trying to tell you, he doesn't play fair. And he is not bound by the Geneva Convention when people go to war. And he's not interested in trying to come up with some kind of truce with you so that you won't get shot in the back or shot in the face or blow your leg off spiritually. He will do whatever it takes to incapacitate you. And so this messenger, this thorn in Paul's flesh, was a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. See, that's why I know this was real. I don't know what it was, and I'm not going to get into whatever conjecture that it might have been. I've heard just about all kinds of stories. Well, maybe it was his eyes, and maybe it was, well, maybe it wasn't. I don't know what it was. If God wanted me to know what it was, he would have told me. But I know that there was a thorn that was bothering him. And three times he beseeched the God of heaven to say, "Take this away from me." You think God heard that prayer? Didn't he hear the prayer? Doesn't he hear the righteous when they pray? Well, what did God tell him? No. My grace is sufficient for you. Now, it is really going to be something to get a chance to ask Paul what he thought about that response. Especially if it was so debilitating that he asked God on three occasions to take it away. But God said, "No, I'm not going to take it away." I think Paul learned that you and I have to ask in faith for God's direction. Amen. And what would please him and what would honor him. I think that's what Paul had to learn. I think that's what I have to learn. And I think that's what you have to learn. That's why I'm telling you, you know, going before Almighty God and saying that my will be done is not the way to go. And then people get all bent out of shape when their prayers aren't answered. "Well, God don't love me." And see, as soon as those words come out of their mouth, the devil has already moved in. Amen. What do you mean God doesn't love you? How did you wake up this morning? All every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. And then when things don't go our way, we want to stick our little spiritual lip out and pout like a 2-year-old. Thank God there are many things that we ask Him for that He never gave us, because they probably would have taken us away from Him. I'm just telling us tonight that we need to learn to ask in faith for God's direction. And I would submit that passage of Scripture to you for further reading, review, and consideration. Let me move on to my third point. We need to listen and wait for God's response.
Yes, sir.
See, I know a lot of sisters who think that their little biological clock is ticking. You know, and I want to have cheering, and I want my family, and ain't no Christian men here, so I guess I'll, you know, take whatever's out here in the street, and then you live to regret it. If you believe that God loves you and that God is going to give the best for you, then we need to pray that His will be done, and then we need to wait. And somebody said, well, how long we have to wait? Well, however long it takes. You don't tell the one who's giving you what you need how long it should take. We need to listen and wait for God's response. I want to put one passage of Scripture in front of you to substantiate this notion. I'm turning to 1 Kings chapter 22. What a fascinating passage of Scripture this is. And again, while you're turning there, someone says, well, you know, you're talking about listen and then wait for God's response. Well, how does God respond to people? Brother Davis? Well, you got His major response right in your hands. Amen. Through His Word.
Amen.
We need to read it. We need to become absorbed in it. But let me also tell you that when you talk to a man or a woman who loves God and loves His Word, sometimes your answer can come through them. We need to be listening. That's how many times we don't want to listen. Somebody says, well, is that the only way? Well, it could also come from a godly teacher. You may even pick up some direction from a sermon, believe it or not. You're just sitting there minding your own business and taking notes, and some comment comes out that you had been thinking and praying about, and the light comes on and you're saying, man, I never thought about that. I need to follow up with that. That's God blessing you, man. You're trying to put yourself in a position so that His will be done in your life. And I'm not talking about some small voice whispering in your ear in the middle of the night and you got to go get a drink of water, and then on your way to the water you met Gabriel. Look, I'm not even tripping with that. Because when people start talking like that, they don't know their Bible and they don't know God. And these people tell all of these lies on television and the radio, and people just get all caught up in that, and there's nothing to it. And then they'll tell me, well, see, you know, over there in the Church of Christ, you know, y'all just too dead. Well, it all depends on how you define dead. I mean, we're using the living and abiding Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. God's Word is alive. Now, some of us need to notify our faces, but that's irrespective of that. In the Lord's church, the church for which Jesus died, don't you ever let people make a negative comment about His church. Well, you know, down here in my pastor church, I said, yeah, that's your pastor's church, because your pastor has his name on it. Don't belong to Jesus. Well, what you talking about? I said, just what I said. If it wears the name of Christ, then you do what Christ tells you to do. Period. Well, see, you know, why y'all have to be so narrow? Well, we're going to be just about as narrow as this Bible is. And we're going to be just about as wide as this Bible is. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to take away from it. But in the Lord's church, it does matter who you listen to. And let me tell you something. We have some carnal-minded people in the church, y'all. Never open their Bible. don't have a spiritual backbone in their body. And a lot of people will run to them and ask them for direction. For what? What you running to them for? They need to be repenting and they need to be trying to get closer to God. But in the Lord's church, there's all kinds of things. That's why Jesus will do the separating himself at the end. You and I need to work on being faithful. And I always look for the spiritual people. When I'm wrestling with stuff, I go to them and talk to them. And I listen to what they have to say. But don't you take your business to everybody. You're to be on Facebook. You'll look out there and say, well, I just told Brother Davis that in his own Facebook. See, don't you do that. Don't you tell some of these people your business. It'll be all over the church. People that don't even go here know more about Arlington than we who are members here. Yeah, I didn't get an amen on that one, but that's okay. We need to listen and we need to wait for God's response. Get tuned in to Christ. Get tuned in to the people who love Christ and go talk to them. They'll pray for you. They'll pray with you. And they'll talk to you about what's going on in your life. But make sure they're spiritual, brothers and sisters. You go to somebody that's just sitting on the fence and they haven't decided to follow Jesus. And that's your song of invitation, 674. I know Chris would have told you that, but he forgot that that's my favorite song. So make sure you mark 674 in your songbooks. We're in 1 Kings chapter 22. Beginning at verse 1, the record says, 3 years passed without war between Aram and Israel. In the third year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Now the king of Israel said to his servants, do you know that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us, and we're still doing nothing to take it out of the hand of the king of Aram? And he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to battle at Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are. My people as your people. My horses as your horses. Moreover, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire first for the word of the Lord. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together. See, obviously he had a hearing problem. He just told him to inquire of Jehovah. But no, he's got to get people to start this group think. He's got to get people who have already bought into what he wants to do who can substantiate his position. Then the king of Israel, verse 6, gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go up against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain? And they said, go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me but evil. See, that's what people say about you in the street. Yeah, don't you go talk to that AC, because all he wants to talk about is the church. Don't talk about him, because all he wants to talk about is the one church. Well, why do you suppose that's all he wants to talk about? I don't know, but don't you go down there, because boy, he'll whoop your head with that Bible. Trying to castigate someone who is committed to the objective truth found in the Word of God. You can call AC whatever you want. You can call him to dinner. You can call him over to your house. There's one thing I know. If you call him to your house, you're going to get scripture. You're going to get Bible. You're going to get an honest heart who gets out of the way and put Jesus in the front and allows people to make the choice for themselves. But Jesus is Lord, and he will be honored, and he must be obeyed. But you see, this king here didn't like the prophet. As a matter of fact, he said, I hate him. wouldn't that be glorious if people were saying that about us? Because of the spiritual positions that we take today. We have too many of us who are trying to be like the world. We want to get along with the world. Well, Brother Davis, we don't want the folk not to like us. You start telling the truth, and the truth will be able to separate you. and people are going to talk about you behind your back and in front of your back and beside you and everywhere else. So we may as well do right.
Amen.
And then let the chips fall where they may. But I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah. But Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, bring quickly Micaiah, son of Imlah. Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting each on his throne, arrayed in their robes at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. Boy, if you don't read God's word with a 3D imagination, you're missing it. Man, you just have to see this to believe it. I mean, this is one of those good old-fashioned all-time revivals. Everything is on the up and up. Yes, sir, this is what we need to do. Verse 11, then Zedekiah. Yeah. The son of Shemaiah made horns of iron for himself and said, thus says the Lord, with these you will gore the Arameans until they are consumed. All the prophets were prophesying thus, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king. Then the messenger who went to summon Micaiah spoke to him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophet are uniformly favorable to the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably. See, they meet you out at in the foyer. Before you come into the building. Now, Brother Davis, don't come in here shaking people up and then talking about race. And, you know, we have a nice, quiet church here now. So you need to come in here and you need to be nice. And don't be preaching all night. We'll get along just fine. Is there? You have any questions? I said, yeah, what'd you ask me to come for?
Amen.
Verse 14, but Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Don't you wish that you could be like that?
Amen.
Don't you wish that you had that kind of spiritual backbone? That whatever the conversation is, when it comes up, you're going to take a stand for Almighty God. Now, they might send you to sensitivity training because you don't love everybody and you need to be more diversified in your thought processes. Still doesn't change the objective truth of God, does it? Verse 15. When he came to the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle or shall we refrain? And he answered him, go up and succeed, and the Lord will give it into the hand of the king. Then the king said to him, how many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Now see, he just asked for it. He just asked for the truth. So he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each of them return to his house in peace. Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me but evil? He told the man the truth.
Amen.
That's what happens, brothers and sisters, when you and I decide to tell people the truth. Now, without you even reading the rest of the account, you already know what happened. You may not be able to fill in the details, but you already know that they went against the word of God and it led to his demise. And when you and I go against the word of God, it will lead to our demise. God's word is true in every man. Should be found a liar. We must listen and wait for God's response. If you find the truth in the scripture, then you need to stick with the scripture. If you're blessed to be under the sound of God's word in a Bible study or a sermon, and you are convicted by that truth, don't think that you can walk away from that truth. You know, one of the most contentious subjects that you can talk about today is marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Amen. You start talking to someone about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and reading to them what God's Word says, you're going to lose your little friends. You're going to lose them. Because they're going to tell you, I've only been married 6 times, Brother Davis. What am I supposed to do? Well, you're going to have to do some praying and fasting. But that does not change the objective Word of God. Everybody takes their situation and they want to twist the Scripture and turn God's Word upside down so that they'll be fine. And you're supposed to accept it. That's why when you study the Bible, you need to ask God to give you the strength. You need to ask God to help you to speak in a way so that people can be clear to the end. They can read along with you. They can follow along with you. But you can't change what's in this book. Many people no longer come to Arlington because of the truth in Scripture regarding marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Many people no longer assemble here at Arlington because they think that they're Christians in all churches. That you can be saved in every church. Well, we're not going to preach that here. Now, if that doctrine was in the Bible, we would teach that. But it's not in here. And if you find it in here, you need to let us know and we'll teach it. I think you and I need to understand that God says what He means and He means what He says. And one of the greatest dangers is preachers and church leaders. You can see them on television. You can actually see them becoming a chameleon right before your very eyes. And if you think I'm kidding, you go back and start watching all of these big time preachers who purportedly have changed their position with regard to homosexual marriage. Well, you know, I used to believe what the Bible says, but God gave me a revelation. Well, I thought, you know, God spoke to us in the last days in His Son. Well, you know, Brother Davis, we're supposed to love everybody. Well, I know we can love everybody, but that does not change the objective truth in this Bible. You and I are going to have to decide one way or the other that God's Word will be the last word. We can learn from the Scripture. We can learn from preachers and teachers and spiritual men and spiritual women. God can even reach us through circumstances in life. And if you think I'm kidding, ask Jonah. God can even reach us through our pain. You hear me? Can reach us. When you think about the greatest time for God to be introduced into a couple's life, there's no better time than when they have a child. Have you noticed that? Man, they're open to everything. They see their vulnerabilities. They look at that precious child and they go, well, we need some help. Now, we got to get to them before the kid hits the terrible twos, because they'll try to give you the child. But we need to get to them before that stage. But when they bring that baby home, they're just oohing and aahing and salivating all over the kid, and the kid can't even breathe, but so many kisses and so many pictures and this, that, and the other, and you see them in public, and you say, well, how old is your baby? Well, look, and they take the baby out and they show you everything. They're open for Jesus. It's a changing moment in their life. We need to take full advantage, not only at that moment, but any moment that could be a teachable moment for Jesus. Well, let me hurry on to my last point. We need to trust God when we don't understand. Now let me tell you, if there ever was a point that I've saved for the very end, that I mean from the bottom of my heart, it's this. We need to trust God when we don't understand. And that's most of the time. Y'all hear me? Amen. In the church, we ask more why than the people outside. Well, I don't know why this had to happen to me. I don't know why this. I don't know either. But are we still going to trust God? Are we still going to love Him? Are we still going to serve Him? But I don't know. I think I'm just going to leave the church. Well, where are you going? What are you going to do? You sit home, you're miserable. When you're not in the assembly, I don't care if you are sick, you're miserable. And I agree with Ed. If you're going to be hurting, you may as well hurt here. I just want to read one passage into your hearing along these lines, and this message will be yours. I appreciate your kind attention, but please join me in Exodus chapter 14. We need to trust God when we don't understand. I'm in Exodus chapter 14. I'll call your attention to verse 10. Now, this is after the children of Israel have left Egypt in their battle array, and there is no telling what they're saying. You hear me? Beating on their chest and screaming and, yeah, we got over on them, boy. You know, just making all kinds of racket. Until you get to Exodus chapter 14 at verse 10, where the record says, as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt saying, leave us alone? Now see, this is what happens when people start saying stupid stuff. This is not what they said. They were crying out to God for deliverance. You're so quick to forget. Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. But Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to do what? Go forward. Now see, right there, I'd have said, you know, Lord, I obviously have a hearing problem because I see a whole lot of water in front of me. And I don't know how you expect us to go through this wall of water. Well, they found out, didn't they? And you see, that's the power of God, brothers and sisters. That is His sovereign power. Anytime you're dealing with a situation that you really don't believe that you're going to be able to make it through, when there is a wall, God will create a door for you. And He will let you walk through that door. And then on the other side of the purported concern, you'll look back and you'll say, thank you, Jesus, for bringing me through. How in the world can we deal with the malady of indecision? In the first place, we need to admit that we need a leader and guide. In the second place, we need to ask in faith for God's direction. In the third place, we need to listen and wait for God's response. And then finally, we need to trust God when we don't understand. When my wife and I were making preparation to leave Nashville, and I've told you this before, that when I tendered my resignation, the senior vice president said, well, what's your next job? I said, I don't know. He said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I said, that's the most faithful thing you've ever seen. He said, well, that doesn't make sense. You're tendering your resignation and you don't even have a job lined up. I said, but I have a God lined up. I don't know what He's going to open up for me, but I do know that we have reached a saturation point with you. I do know that. And at the same time, my wife was going through the same thing on her job, treating her like a second-class citizen, asking her about her credentials. And where did you go to school? And my wife said, I went to the University of Florida. Where did you go? I went to a Podunk school down the street. It was time for us to transition. But we put our trust and confidence in God, just like you have through the years. And all of the walls that we thought were there, God was just preparing us for a place that I had never mentioned on my lips since I had been in this world, Jacksonville, Florida. I couldn't see it, but God could see it. And God could see me and my family coming here. God could see my son being touched by Joe Green here. God could see my life being touched by Jim Sullivan here. He could see my life touched by A.C. Sanders here. But I couldn't see it. I couldn't understand it. But my wife and I would sing, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and faith for each new day, He will make a way. And when God kicked that door open and told us that we could come to Jacksonville, Florida, and I saw my salary go up 35%, to the shock and dismay of those fine Christian folks at the university. Then they found out why our trust is in God. Do you trust God tonight? Do you truly believe that Jesus is Lord? There are so many times when it just doesn't seem like things are coming together the way that I want them to come together. But that's not important. What is important is that you and I continue to trust God. Amen. Serve Him to the very best of our ability. And whatever door He chooses to open for me and my family, we're going to run through that door. And we're going to serve Him to the very best of our ability. I'm telling you tonight, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, you're in the wrong place. If you're not a Christian tonight, we would beg you, with a heart of love and sincerity to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you brave enough tonight to hear with spiritual ears? Are you brave enough tonight to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Are you brave enough tonight to repent of your sin, to turn your face toward the cross and tell Jesus, tonight, I'm so sorry that I have not made you a priority. I'm so sorry that I've been more interested in my career than I have in the Christ. I'm going to start talking better. I'm going to start acting better. I'm going to start respecting my parents more and my family more. And then you stand and confess that Jesus is Lord and allow your body to be buried in water. When you come up out of that water, you come up with the idea and the intent to be faithful to the end. Some of you are sitting here tonight and you haven't been faithful to Jesus. You haven't been using the talent and the ability and the skill that He's given you. We're just sitting on it. And one day He may look at us and say, you know, I'm very disappointed in you, Bill. I gave you 15 talents and you only used 2. Well, Lord, see, then it's too late to try to get into a conversation. It's too late. What about you tonight? Are you maximizing your spirituality on behalf of Christ? If you're not, we would admonish you to reconnect with the Christ and tell Him that you are sorry for not giving Him the best that you have to give. And you talk to AC, you talk to me, you find a spiritual brother or sister in this congregation and get plugged in and move to the next level. And work until you either drop dead or you see Christ coming in the clouds. That's the only alternative that we have. We must be all in. And I'm not talking about that tired football team here in Jacksonville. We need to be all in for Jesus. He is the one that should get our love. He is the one who deserves our allegiance. If you're here tonight and we can help you draw closer to the Master, maybe there's someone in your family that you're wrestling with and you're praying for, why don't you give us that name so all of us can take that person to the throne of God on your behalf? Let us labor with you in your spiritual growth and development. If you and I need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we beg you to come to Christ while together we stand and sing.